Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 28 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
You know, I'm just getting through my Monday. You know, usually record these episodes on Mondays, and it's just like, it's Monday. We don't even have a Giants and Jets game to talk about.
First weekend without Jets or Giants football. I feel like that's kind of a blessing.
I mean, I feel pretty empty about it, if we're being honest. But, like, at the same time, it's like, yeah, maybe it is a blessing. We need a break. We need a break. What those teams do to our soul isn't fair.
So. Yeah, it's not a fun ride anytime that you're a New York football fan, regardless of your team. I mean, the Giants came a lot closer than the Jets did this year, obviously, but it's
unless
not
you're really a Bills fan, you're having fun right now if you're a Bills fan.
Yeah, we do have to take a look at the Bills for the next, like, 45 seconds. It's technically
the Bills are going to the divisional round. Bills Mafia, man. Who's going to let's go Bills out of a Jets fan here?
I hate the Bills.
Can we get a Josh Allen is better than Sam Darnold here?
Josh Allen is better than Sam Darnold, but I hate the Bills.
Well, I know you hate the Bills, but no. The Bills are going to the divisional round. The Bills are playing the Ravens.
Look, the Bills fans are one of the greatest fan bases in all of pro sports, if not.
Dude, they're awesome, bro. Those guys rock.
I do have to give them props. So I'm not happy to see that they're winning, but, I mean, it's cool to see the reactions of the people that haven't seen a Bills playoff win in 24 years.
Talk about deserving fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Cleveland Browns, man. Wow.
Nah, Cleveland is not.
That was unbelievable. I like tweeted. I was under the circumstances, the history, like all the smack talk, just everything leading up to that game. That has to be the craziest start to a playoff game we've ever seen.
Corvette.
Dude, like, I don't really even, like, I have nothing against the Steelers. Like, why should I? But they were so annoying this year. Like, they're so arrogant, and, like, they're the most overrated 11-0 team, is now it's been proven.
Juju.
And now they're a first-round exit. That is so funny, though. That is so funny.
Juju literally went from one of the, like, most liked people in the NFL, the entire NFL, just because, you know, he was always, like, out in the entertainment media, whatever. He played.
Oh, he's going to be the next Antonio Brown now.
Exactly. Now everyone just hates him. It's pretty funny.
I mean, yeah, he was being a jerk pretty much all year. Like, those guys, like, they never shut up. And then when they stopped performing, like, they played like crap the last month and a half of the year. Like, when they lost to Washington, everyone went down the toilet. Everything went down the toilet. And obviously, I was really mad about that. But I remember being very angry at the Steelers that night. We did that episode with Frank. I was so mad.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
So, yeah, actually, that makes me feel good that they went out like this. So, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, but just so this episode, we're just going to kind of do a quick little recap for Jets and Giants season. I mean, obviously, two disappointing ends, but.
Yeah, but not unexpected.
Exactly. I mean, look, I did predict the Giants to go 6-10 at the beginning of the year during our season recap. Granted, I also
the Jets to go 6-10, and they went 2-14.
I predicted the Jets to go 7-9, so I was a little off on that, just a tiny bit, but.
Well, if not for Evan Ingram, the Giants would have been 7-9 and NFC champs. By the way, as angry as we were before we get into the season, like, recap, there's a couple things we should address. Doug Peterson got fired earlier today.
Yes.
That's pretty wild. I mean, like, you guys know how I feel about Doug Peterson and that organization. As much as I hate the Eagles and Doug Peterson and all that, like, let's make it very clear. I'm very aware Evan Ingram is the real enemy here. I'm more than aware. I've been so – my distaste for Evan Ingram as a football player has been put on full display the last 4 months. You guys know this. So everyone stop telling me that Ingram is the real enemy. I know that. It's just better when you can make fun of the Eagles for being jerks too.
Yeah.
They are. Okay? Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, you can't like the Eagles. Like, if you're an Eagles fan, you don't. You're lying to yourself. Nobody likes the Eagles. But, look, all I'm hoping is that the Jets right now, GM is Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas was a part of the Philly organization a few years back when the Eagles won the Super Bowl with Doug Peterson. If the Jets decide to hire Doug Peterson, I will cry.
Dude, I would laugh so hard.
Look, I think Doug Peterson is a decent coach. I don't think that he's terrible. Anything is a step up from Adam Gase. But I just think that right now, the situation that the Jets are in, they don't need another question mark like Doug Peterson. I think,
well, bro, I'm just waiting to see that Jets Instagram post or tweet that says, we are interviewing Doug Peterson for the vacancy at the head coaching job of our organization. Yeah, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it.
Look, they'll definitely.
I mean, they're going to give him an interview.
Yeah, they're going to give him an interview. And I think that if they do hire him, got to trust Joe Douglas what he's doing. I mean, I'm not going to be exactly happy with it, but I'm obviously going to hope for the best. I just don't think that that's currently the best move. I think that the Jets have a few different options where they have decent coaches like kind of lined up in the sense where they don't need someone like a Doug Peterson. I think that the best option as of right now that hasn't been hired or anything like that is what's his face? The Bills offensive coordinator, Brian Dabble.
That's fair. Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, the Bills Mafia. I mean, yeah. You're right. Like, honestly, yeah, let's just talk about the Jets now. Let's just talk about the Jets season. This is a perfect transition. The Jets went 2-14. The Jets started off like 0-13. Pretty much everything that could have went wrong went wrong.
Yeah.
And they got the second overall pick.
So I'm just going to start. So at the very beginning of the season, Jamal Adams gets traded. Adam Gase is still at the helm. Sam Darnold is still a question mark. Le'Veon Bell is still part of the team. But you know what? I have hope. So their first game, they did play
especially with Brady out of the AFC East.
Yes, exactly. I was like, okay, you know what? Maybe this is the year. And I had less hope than I did last year. But I still had some sort of hope. Like, okay, maybe this will be okay. That went completely out of the window. After I think week one, their week one game
really was when they started 0-1, you already knew they were going to be like historically terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they lost their first game of the season 27-17 against the Bills, which you know what wasn't horrible. They were like, okay, you know what, Jets have bad games, they didn't have a preseason, they weren't able to kind of get their shtick going. Maybe next game they're playing the 49ers, you never know what's going to happen. 49ers come along. 49ers get their entire roster injured in that game, which absolutely killed them for this season, but they still find a way to destroy the Jets 31-13. And I'm like, okay, we're done. This is it. And then from there, the Jets continued to get blown out. They lost to the Colts 36-7 the week after. The week after that was the Thursday night game, which was against Denver. And I was like, okay, maybe we could win this game. Denver's not that good. They didn't have their starting. I think Drew Locke was out that game.
That was a close game, actually. And I think at the time, both teams were 0-3. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. And then from there, it just got so much worse. The next 4 weeks after that Broncos-Jets game, the Jets put up a combined 29 points. They lost 30-10 to the Cardinals. They got shut out 24-0 by the Ryan Fitzpatrick-led Dolphins. They lost to the Bills 18-10, and then they lost to the Chiefs 35-9. I think by this point, Le'Veon's gone. I had no hope for the team. We were just kind of hoping.
Le'Veon was gone sometime around week 5, week 6, because I remember that was our Yankees eliminated episode too.
So that by now the Jets are what, 0-9, I think it is. Then they lose to the Patriots in a close one. And by now I'm like, okay, Trevor Lawrence. This is Trevor Lawrence time. So I'm hoping for the Jets to lose. They play a really good game against the Chargers. It's a close one. Chargers edge out. And I'm like, okay, you know what? This is what I want. I want close games. I want the Jets to lose. Next game, they get blown out by the Dolphins again, this time by Tua. I think it was Tua, but I might be wrong about that. And then from there is the Raiders game. The Raiders game was honestly the most entertaining game of the season.
That was hilarious for so many reasons.
Because I loved that game. Like, I
know it was so funny.
The Jets ended up losing that game, obviously, but I was so hyped for the Raiders to win that my like emotions were like as if I was a Raiders fan. Just because of how badly I wanted Trevor Lawrence at the time. So that game was so fun, and the end result was perfect for me. Greg Williams got fired after that game.
Is that ironically the high point?
Yes.
Ironically?
Ironically. Unironically, maybe. I don't know. But that was a very fun game to watch. The week after that, the Jets got destroyed 40-3 by the Seahawks. I was really glad because that was the one game this season that I didn't watch in full. I don't remember what I was doing, but I just wasn't able to sit down and watch that game fully. And that may have been the worst. That was our worst loss of the season. So that was kind of embarrassing. But hey, I mean, with the Jamal Adams trade now, looking back with Seattle, the Jets got two first round picks for Jamal Adams to play one extra game, which, I mean, the Jets and the Seahawks. And
Jamal Adams did nothing but slander the Jets all year long, and it's funny because he had zero picks this year.
Jamal Adams and
– I think he had zero interceptions, right?
Jamal Adams and the New York Jets both have the same amount of wins against playoff teams this season.
Yep, that's right. And he had zero – Nico Lelos had more interceptions.
Yes.
So did – I'm just naming off guys in the Giants secondary that I know had. Julian Love, Darnay Holmes. I'm just naming random guys now because it's funny. Blake Martinez is a linebacker. Obviously, Jimmy Bradbury. But I don't know. Just goes to show. Blitz boy. Maybe it'll be something like the trade like with the Giants with Odell, where at first you're like, oh, that really sucks. And then he didn't really perform because, honestly, right now, I'm biased. It seems like the Giants won the Odell trade. And, like, maybe the Jets will win the Jamal Adams trade.
Yeah, look, as of right now, I'm completely content with where we're at. I'm glad that the Jets traded Jamal Adams, which is something that I don't think I was saying at the beginning of the season. Because, you know what, think that as soon as the Seahawks decide to turn him into an outside linebacker, he'll be absolutely incredible again. But he's not fit to be a safety for the Jets, at least, where he kind of is a locker room cancer in the sense where, you know what, I don't know everything, but it doesn't seem like he's a very nice dude. Where I'm glad – I'm not – look, you lose your franchise player, you're obviously going to be upset, and – I had more faith in Jamal Adams than I did any other player of the Jets in this past like 5, 6, 7 years that I've seen like players come up and whatever. But I don't know. I just feel like the Jets did the right thing with trading him now that we're looking back from this season, and they got the 23rd pick out of it for this year at least. So that's a really solid addition because that's still a first round pick right now that they're going to be able to use. And that's higher than I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be like 27, 28, but Seahawks got knocked out.
I remember my Super Bowl winner is still in. Yours got eliminated this past week.
Yeah. Well, the Seahawks blew up at the second half of the season anyway. I mean,
yeah, I know, but my Super Bowl pick, or my NFC champion was out a long time ago, but my Super Bowl pick is going strong, marching their way into Orchard Park next week. And yours, dude, Russell Wilson, a crappy end of the year. You're right. Like, yeah. I remember let Russ cook the first half of the year. He was going to win MVP. Obviously now it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I think it is Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that you could kind of put anyone else. It's because right now the top three are probably
Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen. And I think Rodgers has the best stats.
I feel like even with Allen, you could put Henry before him. Like, Derrick Henry.
I know this doesn't even matter. He sucked yesterday.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, he was terrible yesterday.
He sucked.
Look, I think that what the NFL needs to do is kind of implement like a Cy Young type award for quarterbacks. So there's able to be an MVP because, you know, it's a quarterback league. It's the same exact reason why Justin Herbert's going to win the rookie of the year over Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson. Really doesn't it is. Yeah.
I think that Justin Jefferson should be a rookie of the year, and that's just not going to happen just because of how the league works. So I think that there should be like a Cy Young type award for the NFL where it's a quarterback only award where there's a chance.
But quarterbacks can't win MVP?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Oh, but that's not the thing. That's different with Cy Young. The reason they have Cy Young
is because it's a different.
You typically don't pitch as much, and that's why like Jacob deGrom might be the best pit player. He's the best pitcher in the world, but he's not going to win MVP because he pitches every fifth day.
Look, I mean, I think that there should be a separate quarterback award because I feel like the position is too tight in the way where your quarterback is most likely going to be the most important person on your team where.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you mean. I don't know what the logistics of that could or should be, but
yeah, neither, but oh, well,
yeah, I get it.
Let me finish just the rest of the Jets season. Yeah. Jets then proceeded to lose. So the Jets lost to the Seahawks 40-3, and the next week decided to just win against the Rams' number one ranked defense for some reason. I was so mad at the end of that game just because I was like, oh, okay, well, there goes Trevor Lawrence. But you know what? It was a good game. The Jets were able to go out and avoid the whole 0-16 saga thing that they could have been, which, you know, no team wants to go 0-16. And looking back now, like, I'm glad, especially after everything that happened with the Eagles week 17, I'm glad that the Jets won games, that they weren't just trying to lose. And then the week after that, they beat the Browns, which was really, really nice because you know what? Obviously, the Browns weren't completely up to like they weren't healthy. They didn't have any of their wide receivers because of COVID. But seeing the Jets beat the Browns was really nice just because I hate the Browns. And the fact that they won yesterday really pisses me off. But I hate the Browns. You know that. Browns are probably – right now the Patriots aren't playing that well. So I think it's safe to say that the Browns are my least favorite team in the NFL. But, yeah.
We all know who my least favorite team is. So
I wouldn't be able to guess it. And then the Jets closed out their season, losing to the Patriots 28-14. That game I did want them to win just because it didn't
matter.
That was,
like, the only game all season you wanted them to win from, like, September on. Like,
that's the only game where I sat down at 1 o'clock or whatever, whenever it started, and said, hey, I want the Jets to win this game, besides week one, week two, that kind of thing. Right. So after that, Adam Gase gets fired. Right now they're interviewing a crap ton of people for the head coach position. Right now they just finished one with the New Orleans secondary coach, Aaron Glenn, and they got a whole list of other people that they're interviewing.
A lot of guys. Interview. I follow the Jets on Twitter. They've interviewed a lot of guys. Yeah. No one like that I've been like, oh, like – like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing like that yet, but I'd imagine.
I mean, like, they interviewed
Marvin. No big names just yet. Like, nothing that, like, pops New York off the page.
Look, the only – out of the people that the Jets have interviewed so far, which has been, like, the Colts defensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, I think they've already done, Arthur Smith, who's the offense coordinator for the Titans, the Saleh guy from 49ers, the only one that I could say, like, absolutely not to is Marvin Lewis. Just because, like – who wants Marvin Lewis right now?
Right. No.
I mean, like, I would say that they're just doing that because of the Rooney Rule, but I don't think that they are, because Marvin Lewis was, like, the subject of the Rooney Rule last year just because they're, like, nobody else wanted to interview any African-American coaches. But now with people like Bieniemy, they just interviewed Aaron Glenn. It's not, like, necessary. So that means that the Jets are genuinely considering Marvin Lewis, which I don't really think is the best option. But yeah, you know, when if the Jets that's the only one out of the people that I've seen that the Jets are interested in that I absolutely want to say no to. They interviewed the defensive coordinator from the Rams, Brandon Staley, which I don't think that's the right option, just because I feel like he is a head coach in the NFL, just he needs another 2-3 years. But I don't know, I feel like whoever Joe Douglas decides to go with, I'm going to support. I'm going to wish the best for, obviously, as a Jet fan. But I trust him. I think that Joe Douglas is the smartest man in the Jets organization, and he's got a whole lot of power, so he better know what he's doing. So I'm going to trust his decision, whatever it is, that it's the right one.
When we played that game earlier in the season of, like, oh, would you want to interview this guy? Would you want to hire this guy? Was Doug Peterson on that list?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think he was.
I probably did, actually.
I was probably against it back then.
I don't know. I'd have to look back, but I feel like I definitely probably said Doug Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, you probably did, but
I said Mike McCarthy, so I definitely said Doug Peterson.
Yeah. Well, I don't want Mike McCarthy, so.
Yeah, no. Well, Mike McCarthy is going to be staying in Dallas now because they managed to win 3 of the last 4. But anyways.
Okay, so before we go into the Giants, I just kind of want to go through what I want from the Jets offseason real quick. I mean,
did you write it down?
It's not a lot. It's just like kind
of. No. I feel you. No, I have a list as well. Don't worry.
The Jets right now have the second most cap space in the NFL, I'm pretty sure. Maybe it's like second or third behind the Jaguars and the Colts, I think. But they have a decent amount of players that they could honestly get more cap just from not like little guaranteed money deals that are probably going to end up not happening. They'll probably end up cutting or trading Henry Anderson, people like Greg Van Rutten. And I think that right now the Jets free agents this year, so people that I think that they need to re-sign, obviously Marcus May has been the Joe Douglas already came out and said that Marcus May is his priority this offseason. I think that Marcus May
to extend him is what you mean. Yeah, makes sense. So to me.
His contract's up after this season. I think that the Jets need to bring him back. Players like Brian Poole are also on 1-year contracts where they or not 1 year, but their contract's expiring where. People like Brian Poole's one of the best slot cornerbacks in the NFL. I think they need to bring him back. Linebackers Neville Hewitt and Terrell Basham, I think, are both really solid pieces of the Jets team. I think that they should bring him back if they can. Bradley McDougal, who we got in the Jamal Adams trade, played very solid. I think that could be in their best interest. It might not be absolutely necessary in the sense. Breshad Perriman, Jordan Jenkins should be also brought back, another linebacker. Breshad Perriman, I don't know. It depends on who else they're going to go for. I think that...
You think they'll go after Robinson or Galladay?
I think they're going to end up going after Galladay. I don't know about Robinson. I don't know what's going to happen with him. Is his deal after the season done?
Yeah, he is a free agent, yes.
Okay. I feel like Allen Robinson is going to want to go to a team with a solid quarterback already in, like, the whatever.
Daniel Jones.
yeah, sure. So, you know, I feel like one of the Jets' main targets is going to end up being Galladay. I don't know. I mean, I think a wide receiving core of Kenny Galladay, Denzel Mims, Jamison Crowder, and maybe Braxton Berrios, yeah, and then maybe Breshad Perriman. That's solid, especially for possibly a new quarterback.
Did you say Crowder?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you said Crowder. Yeah.
Look, Crowder's great. Crowder has been one of the best additions over the past 2 years, I could say that. I think that he's a really solid slot receiver and that he should be a part of the team's plans next year, and I think that he will.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
I mean, other people that they're losing this year, it's really just kind of like backups in the sense where it's like Joe Flacco, maybe re-sign him if he's able to come back for cheap, veterans minimum type thing. Arthur Mollett definitely could be if he's not asking for too much. Patrick Onwuzari didn't really play this season, so it's up to you. It's up to the Jets organization. Frank Gore, I mean, it's Frank Gore. He's not coming back, I don't think, but I really hope that he does continue to play just because I want to see him somewhere else. I want to see him kind of go out.
He deserves to go out that way. I hope that he gets a third down, maybe power back kind of role with a contender for 2021 and then rides off that way regardless of what happens.
And then, look, I mean, Harvey Longy played a really good year as well. I think that the Jets' main, like, look, the Jets' offseason is going to be really exciting, I feel like. They're definitely going to miss out on some people. They're definitely going to get some interesting pickups, hopefully, that I'm going to have split decisions on. I feel like that's always going to happen, though. This draft is really important. I don't know. Because right now, like, in the past...
Okay, I have a question for you before you continue, because you just said this draft is really important. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I was about to mention that.
Okay, good. Deshaun Watson.
Look, if the Jets were able to somehow make a trade for Deshaun Watson, I would be all for it. I mean, look, you're going to have to give up a lot. I don't think
you're going to have to give up both your first round picks and next year's first round pick.
And then probably another pick up in there too. I don't think that the Texans are going to want to do a deal for Sam Darnold. So I think that's out of the question. Cause look,
why not?
I don't know. I mean, like, look, Darnold,
if Sean Watson comes to New York, then there's no way Sam Darnold is staying.
Well, yes, I'm going to say that, but I don't know if the Texans, per se, are going to want to say, hey, we'll do Watson for Darnold and then all these other picks type thing. It depends. I think, obviously, if the Jets are going to draft or sign or trade for another quarterback, Darnold's not going to be on the team next year. I think that they should be able to get at least a third-round pick for him. Maybe a second. They're not getting another first, obviously, but they should be able to get at least a third-round pick. Maybe, like, they get a second, and then they have to give up a fourth as well, that kind of thing. But I don't know. We'll figure it out. I think right now it's so weird because the Jets are in a spot that I haven't seen in a while where everything is a question mark. Because you know what? This team could be completely revitalized by the beginning of next year. I don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback next year. I don't know who's going to be the starting running back. I don't know who's going to be wide receiver one, tight end one. I'm not going to know what the O-line's looking like. Everything right now is a question mark where obviously there's going to be some sort of retention in terms of the defensive line has looked really good towards the end of the season. I think that they definitely should continue with the people that they have. I mean, Quinnen Williams was a beast at the end of the year. Fulorenzo Fadukasi, whatever, hard name. Their defensive line looked good last year. Only player I'd consider like getting rid of is Henry Anderson just because of his contract. But besides that, I'm very excited for this offseason. I don't know what I want in the draft yet, and I feel like that's just going to come with time. Justin Fields, I don't know. Deshaun Watson, whoever is the starting quarterback for the Jets next year, it's going to be really interesting to see because it could be Zach Wilson. It could be Sam Darnold. I don't know. But we got a very fun few months ahead of us in terms of the NFL offseason. And then we'll have the other sports going on as well to talk about during that time. But
yeah,
it'll be fun. But, you know, enough about the Jets. I kind of rambled on for a little longer than I expected.
No, it's okay. I'm going to do the same thing. Trust me. Once you give me the floor, I'm ready to go.
All you. I'm done with the Jets.
Okay. We all know the narrative that I'm about to push. I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anyone here about what I have to say. Let's just get right into the schedule, though, first. So they played the most overrated 11-0 starting team ever to start the year. And they lost by 10 points, but I remember thinking, like, okay, I kind of see some pieces coming together. Maybe this will develop over the course of the year. Some of them did, some of them didn't. And the offensive line sucked in that game, I remember. They were completely awful. Daniel Jones was incredibly inconsistent, but he actually had his passing high for the whole season in that game, which is kind of weird. But, yeah, that was the most amount of passing yards he had in a whole game, was in the first one of the year. And the Steelers had a pretty good defense, too. So, I don't know. There was a few things. I was pretty happy with that game. That was Darius Slayton's best game of the year, too. And he ended up having a really crappy season. So, there were some clear differences, but there were still a lot of holes going into that game. And then they went up to Chicago. Your best player, your playmaker, your heart and soul, your captain, tears his ACL in the first half of week two. And that right there just sucks all the air out of the balloon. And, you know, it hurts to see because Saquon Barkley, the way this year went with the offensive line, they were very inconsistent, but they drastically improved over the course of the year. And we saw the way Wayne Gallman played where he was pretty good and he had his moments, but there are moments when you think, man, Saquon breaks that off for 75. Man, Saquon makes that guy miss and he's gone. This, that, or the other thing. And that really hurts because – you think back to that Chicago game, they couldn't get anything doing rushing in that game. And I think to myself, he had 28 yards in the first quarter. Maybe if he stays healthy and doesn't tear his ACL in that moment, they win that game. They lost that game by 4 points. What if they had a rushing attack? Yeah, you know, it's something you got to think about. And of course it would go on to impact them for the rest of the season. And it just sucks because you lose that game, you're 0-2, for like the seventh time in 8 years, and you're down your best player.
Wayne Train.
Yeah, I mean, and Wayne Train, he's actually a free agent. I don't think he'll be back next year because I don't know why he would be. But yeah, that just was really. It's disheartening. That's the best way of putting it. But I'm not going to linger on it. And then we all know what happens the next week. Giants suffered their worst. By the numbers loss of the year, they got blown out by Nick Mullins and the San Francisco 49ers to drop to 0-3. There's not much to mention there. Lots of turnovers. This is when the Engram turnover bug began. I think he had like 2 fumbles in this game or something ridiculous like that. They lost 36-9 at home. And then they go to LA and SoFi, and the Rams beat them 17-9. This was the first game where the defense like really kind of showed up and like held it down. They were down 10-9 for a while, but this was still in the period of time where the amount of points they'd scored in each game was 16, 13, 9, 9. They couldn't get anything going on offense. They hadn't scored a touchdown since week two. And Barkley's out. Jones looks to be regressing. I mean, it's not that his turnovers are as much of a problem as they used to be, although they were still there. But he can't get anything going. He's not generating any offense. But this comes back to the Giants had no playmakers, man. They don't have a wide receiver one. Evan Engram stunk. And Saquon Barkley was injured.
I don't know. He did pretty good
this year. 2.5 games.
Hey, Evan Engram is a Pro Bowler.
Evan Engram is a terrible tight end who I genuinely would not mind if he was not on the team anymore next year. Like, call me reactionary all you want. Yankee Giants fans, tell me he is not Gary Sanchez in Giants blue and pads. Just tell me he's not. Because the analytics nerds seem to love him, but when he does not pass the eye test at all. He just doesn't. Like, and that's just as important to me. I try to balance that because I don't want to make it seem like sports is all about numbers because it's not. It's about the human aspect and it's about heart. And I'm a big believer in analytics, but Evan Engram's not a good – he did not have a good season. He stunk. And I don't think it's really that much of a stretch to say that if you just take him out completely and he just doesn't play at all this year and you put in like just like – he just harmed the team so much that he's the reason they missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is that such a stretch?
No, that's completely right. I mean, obviously the big mistakes that led to the one or two losses could definitely be considered the reason why you didn't make it. I know that everything that unfolded at the end of the season with Washington and Philly in that last game and just everything that went on, that obviously is by chance, but
right. And as frustrating as that is, if Engram, and I'll get to this, if there's a few things that if Evan Engram does differently, the Giants are 7-9, 8-8, and they're in the playoffs. But I'll get to that. Trust me. Anyways, week 5, they're already 0-4. They head into Dallas. They have a really good offensive game. They put up 34 points. Daniel Jones, that was probably his best offensive game of the season. The defense was inconsistent but good. And this is the first game that really, really irks me as a loss. Like, it really hurt because there was a ridiculous false start, like a phantom false start called on a fake field goal that would have gone for a touchdown in that game. This was obviously the game Dak got hurt. There was a fake field goal attempt that would have been a touchdown that was missed. There's a holding call on the final drive on Andy Dalton's march down to the red zone for a game-winning field goal by Zuerlein that's missed. And it's just – it's Dallas, and it sucks because you lose that game by 3, and that's a potential 10-point swing or whatever, 9-point swing. It hurts. That was a bad loss. But then the next week, they finally picked up their first win against the Washington football team. Not much to say there. There was nothing really special that happened. They won 20-19 because Washington went for 2 at the end, and Jabril Peppers made a play on the ball, who had a really good year, by the way. But I'll get more into individual performances once we get through the schedule. Then we get to Thursday night, and this is the most infamous game of the Giants season. I don't even need to say who they played. It was a Thursday night game. They lost by 1 point. I was going to go to this game. I did not.
I remember.
I'm glad I did not go to this game. The Giants led 21-10. With about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, they were about to beat the Eagles for the first time in 3 years. And no, they didn't. They took a really bad roughing the passer on what would have been third down, like 20, with the Eagles having the ball. And then that led to a bomb to like DeSean Jackson. And then they score. All right, whatever. 21-16. Daniel Jones, prove you're the guy. Run out the clock. They're running the ball well. Gallman's running the ball well. Devonta Freeman's still healthy in this game. 3rd and 6. Call the fade, make the catch, and the game is over off Evan Engram's fingertips. You know how the story goes.
Mm.
That was the defining moment of the season. I know the Giants would go on to win 4 straight later on. If that catch is made, maybe they beat Tampa. And that winning streak ends up being 7 games, 6 games, whatever it is. That mistake right there, if it is not made, the Giants play it on Saturday night.
Yeah.
It was a perfect throw. Daniel Jones dropped it right on in the breadbasket, and it almost looked like he wasn't even trying to catch the ball the way it went off his hands. I don't even know what to say about it because I've thought about the play so much, and it's just like you're really an NFL player and you're going to make that kind of mistake at that magnitude.
It's crazy. I mean, I remember the Giants Giants fans' reaction to that play, that game. Your reaction to that was so funny. I'm sorry.
So unbelievably angry.
Yeah, that was not a fun game to watch in your shoes. It was a really fun game to watch for me. I mean, I was at that point not rooting for the Giants. So seeing that happen, seeing my friends get extremely angry with Evan Engram.
Oh, it's like a funny ha-ha moment for everyone else. But like,
yeah.
It was also the game Daniel Jones like tripped on his own feet. The Giants scored on that possession, by the way, so everyone shut up. It's not that funny. They still scored a touchdown. Yeah, shut
here's
up.
The thing. Here's the thing. They could have scored a touchdown like 2 plays earlier.
Oh, who cares? Who cares? That wouldn't have changed the aspect of the – it wouldn't have changed a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that game had the opportunity to be Daniel Jones' signature win at the time. That would have been 2 in a row. It would have put them in first place in the East at the time back in week 7. And obviously, it gives them 1 more win total, and we all know that they missed the playoffs by 1 game. So I think that's the one. That's the game you circle, and you're like – you always talk about in the middle of the season, like, oh, you missed it by 1 game. This is the one you got to look back at. Yeah, this is the one you got to look back at. Pathetic. There's nothing more to say. And then they go on to Monday night. They lose because they pick a flag up on a pass interference on a 2-point conversion. Which is just ridiculous to me. how you pick that back up. Like, just, you made the call. And that, you're going to pick up a flag on a 2-point conversion as time's expiring. Like, are you serious? Just doesn't even make any sense. But they lost that game. And then we're heading into the winning streak here, actually. They won 4 straight from November 8th to December 6th.
I do want to say that I did kind of predict that.
Not really.
Not the flex.
But, not really. No.
I predicted them going
the wrong. It was the wrong part of the season. You did not. You picked them to win in Philly, and you picked them to beat Tampa. Winning
streak.
Yeah, right. Whatever. They got a 4-game winning streak. They swept the Washington football team. So you guys played one more week than us, and we still swept you, and we've won 5 straight against you. Chase Young ain't blank, and we'll sweep you again next year. If Daniel Jones is healthy, because he is your daddy. They won that game 23-20. Defense forced like 5 turnovers. That was Alex Smith's return. I mean, yeah, that was a big win. Then obviously they finally beat the Eagles the following week.
Okay, can I just say that Taylor Heinicke deserves MVP for the season just because?
Yeah, like,
I love
him. I guarantee you some team's going to get desperate and offer him like a starting job, and it's just going to be a mess.
Look, I just want to say that he played well enough on this weekend to prove that he deserves to be in the NFL.
Oh, no, he should be a backup quarterback in the NFL, but he's going to be competing for a starting job somewhere ridiculous, like Denver or like Carolina. I'm trying to think of another place that just has the worst quarterback situation, like something like that. You know what I mean? You already know that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Good for him, though. I like
maybe it. New Orleans, because Breeze will, like, just like, you know, you already know. Or no, Jameis Winston's going to be the Saints quarterback next year.
Or Taysom Hill.
Yeah, throw Taylor Heinicke in there. Let's just get all the memes together, guys. Let's just – that'll be New Orleans' new thing, because we already know they don't have salary cap.
And John Wolford.
Okay.
Okay, continue.
That's enough. Anyway, they finally beat the Eagles. Not much to say about this one. They just completely dominated the Eagles. They beat Cincinnati. I'm going to just try to get through the rest of the schedule really fast here, because week 7 game against the Eagles was the real highlight of, like, just where it became a mess. They beat the Bengals after a bye. That was way too close for comfort. That was actually – I'll highlight this one. That was when Daniel Jones got hurt. And obviously we all know how they ended their season. I can't help but think what might have happened if Daniel Jones had played the whole home stretch healthy. Obviously they won that game, and then Colt McCoy went on to win in Seattle. And at this point, this is the peak. They're 5-7. They're in first place. And I'm thinking, okay, they just need to win probably 1 more, 2 more to be safe. And I said all the last 2 months, like, win one of the 4 against Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, and then you have to beat Dallas. They did that, and they didn't make it, because Washington beat the Steelers, which was just absurdity. But
yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was so dumb. But yeah, that's another thing where if that doesn't happen, the Giants win. But whatever, it doesn't matter anymore.
Nah.
They beat Seattle. That was their signature win. But it was all in a false hope, because they got creamed by Arizona, Cleveland, and Baltimore the following 3 weeks. This is all recent stuff that you all remember, so I'm not going to go too in-depth. And then obviously they beat Dallas. That was an ugly win, but they beat them. So the Giants went 4-2 in the NFC East this year, which usually you see that and you're like, all right, yeah, that's really good. And then you see they go 6-10, and it's like, okay, it doesn't amount to much. But yeah, the Giants finished 6-10 and 1 game out of a playoff spot. But I think they have less question marks than the Jets, and I think I'm probably more optimistic for the future than you are.
Look, I think that the Giants right now have a lot less question marks than the Jets. I think that they have a better shot at making the playoffs before the Jets do. I don't know what's going to happen next season with the Jets, but the Giants have a decent amount of hope for the future, which the Jets really don't have that much. So, yeah, no, that's pretty much it. I mean,
let's just talk about individual performances. Daniel Jones, that's not the step I was hoping for. He didn't have much help. He didn't have the star running back he had last year. This was his second offensive system he's having to learn in the last 2 years, because he's kind of like Darnold. He's like, he can't find his identity because they haven't surrounded him with the right coaching. I mean, Jason Garrett's just way too conservative with his play calling, but at the same time, I can't even be mad. He doesn't have a star running back, and his wide receivers aren't playmakers. The Giants wide receivers could not get open down the field at all this year. They just couldn't. and it was unbelievably frustrating. The Giants didn't have very many deep balls at all this year. It's because Darius Slayton wildly regressed. Sterling Shepard is at best a wide receiver two and a slot receiver. I'd love to keep him around, but in that aspect, also either draft a receiver or sign a Robinson-esque, Galladay-esque. Do I dare saying Juju Smith-Schuster maybe? I don't know. Probably not. But
you didn't say that.
Nah, but you get the idea. They need to get a number one guy. They need to get a clear-cut number one guy because Sterling Shepard's best season came alongside Odell Beckham in his rookie year. And Sterling was able to shine in that offense because he didn't have all the focus on him. You put more of the focus on Odell, Sterling's going to have better numbers. You put more of the focus on a new wide receiver one, Sterling's going to have better numbers. Jones is going to have better numbers. Saquon Barkley's going to have better numbers, who hopefully will recover. Him and Jones, one of the big things for my offseason for the Giants, my wish list is get them healthy, recover them right, get them ready for preseason next year, because next year Dallas is going to be back stronger than ever. They'll have Dak Prescott. They'll keep most of their band around. Washington is now the defending NFC East champs. They kind of have a quarterback problem. Alex Smith is not their quarterback of the future. Their defense is – their front seven's good. Their secondary is kind of cheeks. But other than, like, Gibson and McLaurin, their offense still not that great. I mean, their offensive line's pretty good. I mean, Washington's all around solid, but at the same time, you can't trust that team to be good for a consistent amount of time. Like,
not at all, yeah.
They haven't won a playoff game in 15 years. They're not a very good organization. Whether – I'm not even trying to crap on Washington. It's just how it is. So, and then I think the Eagles are going to suck again next year, but that's besides the point. The Giants need to get those two guys. You need to get your backfield healthy. Those are the two most important guys on the offense. Any way you slice it, your quarterback and your star running back, who by the way is playing for a new contract next year. So I hope he plays well enough where the Giants extend him, because I know Mara said that they love to see him in Giants blue for a long time. I would as well. And if they're taking a step in the right direction, I don't think that he is really even in line for a ridiculous extension the way he was not healthy this year and only played 10, 11 games last year. So we'll see what happens, but I hope he sticks around because I don't know, for the first time, it maybe might look like they're heading in the right direction, but the two things the Giants really need this offseason in acquisition wise, they need a wide receiver one and they need an edge rusher. That was the main thing missing from their defense. Their secondary performed really well, way better than I expected them to. Jabril Peppers is a great two-way safety. He's a great run stopper, and he's pretty good in coverage. Logan Ryan ended up being a really good safety slash slot corner as well. Glad we could have extended him. Or glad we did extend him, excuse me. James Bradbury was absolutely box office. And the revolving door of Holmes, Love, a few other guys in there at second cornerback. Maybe that's something you might want to look at a bit this offseason, maybe patch it up, but it's not a top priority because they did good enough most of the time.
Yeah.
You just need to give the defense more rest. The offense needed to be on the field longer. The time of possession this year for the Giants was absolutely unacceptable, but you know, those are all things you work on. That's in developing, building a winning culture. So yeah, their linebackers were pretty good. They had a lot of young guys like Cam Brown, Kyler Fackrell, not a young guy exactly, but you know what I mean. They had and then obviously Blake Martinez, who was the star of that linebacking core. They played pretty well this year. You know, like I really can't have any legitimate complaints about any of those guys, I guess. Because really most of those guys were not really expected to start this year. They were young guys. Carter Coughlin stepped into his role. Tay Crowder, as I mentioned already, Cam Brown, these young guys that really just stepped into big roles in that linebacking core that I can't really just be unhappy with. Their pass rush, they need a better edge rusher. Kyler Fackrell was hurt for the portion of the year. Ximenez was out for a lot of the year. We let go of Golden, Marcus Golden, that is. And Dalvin Tomlinson and Leonard Williams both need to be extended because those guys were fantastic as interior edge rushers, really as interior pass rushers, and they were good on run defense as well. Leonard Williams ended up with 11 and a half sacks.
Really?
He was really good. It was either, I think it was 11 and a half. He had a very good season, and he seems to have a good relationship with the Giants organization. Obviously, Gettleman would have never made that trade if they didn't believe in him, so I'd imagine that they'll be extending him this offseason, and it would be a travesty if they didn't because he just had his career year. I hope they can extend him and Tomlinson, but we'll see how that goes. You got to keep Leonard Williams around. That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy they extended Logan Ryan, though. I'm very happy with that. But yeah, to add to the defense, the biggest thing they need is an edge rusher. I was pushing to sign Yannick Ngakoue earlier, but obviously that fell through and he ended up in Baltimore. But I'd love to see a veteran pass rusher on that defense, I think would be more than beneficial. I don't really see where the 11th pick in the draft. I don't really follow college football that closely. I don't know if there's an optimal edge rusher in that spot. I feel like they're a little bit too low, where maybe it's time to think about taking a receiver. And even if Chase and Smith are gone, you got to think about Waddle. Because if the Giants sign a receiver and draft a receiver, I wouldn't mind that. Like,
honestly, that might be one of the solid options in this year, just because, like, I feel like if you're not going to end up with someone like an Allen Robinson or a Kenny Galladay, take a shot. Why does it matter? And, like, even if you do
end up with them, I'd love to see him end up with a Smith or a Chase. I don't think he's going to fall down to 11, but
look, the Giants,
I'd be happy with Waddle at this point. I hope he plays tonight, because the Natty is tonight. I hope he plays.
The Giants had the right idea when they brought back Shepard, Tate, Slayton, all for this year to try to help Jones with his progression and stuff. And obviously that didn't end up working out for him.
Yeah, and they were also they all had better seasons last year than they did this year. All three of those guys regressed. Shepard finished pretty strong, and I think he'll stick around. Like, that guy is a New York Giant through and through. He bleeds blue. But Slayton really regressed, which was really concerning, because I thought he was going to step into that wide receiver one deep threat kind of role, and he didn't. And then obviously Golden Tate is just, we're letting him walk. He's gone.
Yeah, so, you know what, I think it all just comes with time. I think that this Giants team can have a good season next year with the right assets. I do think that they do need a real wide receiver one in order to have that. I think with Saquon coming back, I think that their line isn't horrendous. It's just a point of, like, kind of upgrading it a tiny bit.
Their offensive line you're referring to?
Yeah.
I think for the offensive line, because it's pretty much all young guys, and I don't know what the deal is with Nate Solder coming back next year.
Yeah,
you need to develop them together. You need them to build more chemistry, because you've got a guy like Nick Gates who played really well at center. Andrew Thomas is developing. Cam Fleming I'm a bit concerned about, but Zeitler had a pretty good season in there as the I think he was the right guard. You know, like, that it was better than it has been. You know, that was the thing. It was better than it has been. The offensive line, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, Shane Lemieux had a pretty good year. Will Hernandez took a lesser role. So did Matt Parrott. But, like, they were all okay, you know? Just develop those guys together. That's the biggest thing. I don't know if they make – I think they'll draft an offensive lineman at some point in the draft. I don't know how early or late it's going to be. I don't think they're going to make a splash offensive lineman signing. I think that if they're going to make a big signing, it's going to be – extending Leonard Williams and or getting a receiver / edge rusher. But I don't know what the market's looking like for edge rushers. I only know for receivers.
So. Yeah, me too. I don't know too much. I mean, we'll have a deeper in-depth conversation with this kind of stuff later in the year.
I mean, yeah, we'll know in like a month or two.
Exactly. But
for now, I can't say I'm exactly like super unhappy, because I didn't expect much out of the Giants this year. But of the last 3 or 4 years of losing, this is the first time where I'm like, I see the pieces. I see the plan, and maybe next year is the year that it comes together to the real first step, you know, not the 6-10 NFC least, not that. I'm talking like maybe if they make the right moves and develop the right way, knock on wood, they go 10-6, you know, like I wouldn't, if they make the moves that I'm happy with. And obviously we know Gettleman's sticking around. We don't know what the deal is with Jason Garrett yet, but Joe Judge impressed me with what the roster he had. He gets the best out of his players. And that's really all you can ask for out of a coach. So he gets the most out of them, and he'll definitely be back around next year, hungrier than ever. So, I don't know much about the Giants. I don't know what to expect yet. Kind of like Anthony said, we have less question marks than the Jets, but obviously we don't know anything until the draft, until free agency, until training camp. In July. So
it all comes with time. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. So to put the icing on the cake, to wrap the bow on the Giants season, 6-10, a lot of individual performances, more specifically on the defense, that I was very happy with. Got to re-sign those two interior defensive guys on the line. You'd love that. At least keep Leonard Williams. And I'd love to keep Tomlinson around too, because he's a captain. Maybe he'll take the hometown discount. I'd love that. I would really love that. Get an edge rusher, get a wide receiver. heal up Saquon and DJ, let that offensive line mesh, let Joe Judge learn, let these young players learn, start to build a culture, and sweep the Eagles next year. And go 10-6 and win the East, hopefully. Yeah, that's all I can really hope for. But obviously that's a lot. But going from 6-10 to 10-6 is a lot more promising than going from 4-12 to 10-6. So they did win two more games this year. And honestly, if not for Evan Engram, who I tried not to mention in my individuals recap, who had a crappy year and was the reason why they missed the playoffs just as much as the Eagles being frauds, I hope that he can develop as well and get over that mental thing. Cause it's a mental thing. Like he had the dropsies. It's not that he doesn't have the skill. He clearly has the skill. He's made great plays his whole career as a playmaker tight end. And he got better at blocking, believe it or not. But you wouldn't know that because he turned the ball over like 8 or 9 times, which is absurd. But yeah, hopefully he gets over that hiccup in his mind. And that's all I can really say about the Giants for the next couple months.
Yeah. So obviously going to 10-6 is easier said than done, but the Jets and Giants both have promising futures, I think you could say. I mean, look, neither of them are the Saints with negative 95 million cap. So I think that's a solid sign.
But neither of them are like, it doesn't seem like, at least for the Giants don't seem screwed. We need to see, I don't know if we're deep enough into Douglas's plan yet where we can really judge what the Jets are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
For Gettleman, if Gettleman's plan's going to start working, it's going to start working next year. Either that or he's gone. So it's now or never. So I don't see why he wouldn't re-sign Leonard Williams after making that trade. I don't see why he wouldn't sign Dalvin Tomlinson after drafting him and developing him and making him a defensive captain. I don't see why he wouldn't draft a receiver or go out and sign a receiver knowing that if Giants don't make the playoffs next year, he's probably out the door. Yeah. So
I mean, look, we'll see next season. We're hoping for the best for this offseason. We'll have a few more episodes based on the acquisitions, the Jets head coach, that kind of thing. But everything will be figured out soon. We got a very fun weekend coming up for the NFL. I mean, it's possibly the last Breeze and Brady matchup. We got Adams, Jalen Ramsey, Devontae Adams. This will be a fun NFL week. Obviously, chances are we're not going to be covering it much unless something happens with either the Jets picking a coach or that kind of thing. But that's about it for our NFL recap, I'd say.
Yeah. Do you want to talk basketball for like 2 seconds?
2 seconds. The Knicks
have lost two straight and they're playing tonight. Hopefully they win.
We were wrong about the Knicks. That's all we got to say.
We'll see you Thursday. Yeah. All right. I'll do the socials. If you want to follow us, we're at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at Big Apple SP Media. If you want to follow me, I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one. That's Kyle E Keegan on Instagram and Twitter.
I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram, Anthony EV 7 on Twitter. This has been episode 28. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.